It's time to get brutally honest.
I'm being dead serious when I'm saying this. I would have gone up to Jose Theodore and said, can we sign you to a 10-day deal? I'm telling you, I don't think it's crazy to think that Jose Theodore could go in there and do a better job than Niemi.
I think it's crazy.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
What a time to be alive. What a time to be from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. The Leafs have won 6 in a row, smoking the Habs on Saturday night. The Raptors have won 4 in a row. The Argos were off to the Grey Cup. TFC's in the Eastern Final. It is a thing of beauty in the city right now. I am basking in this sports optimism. I have never experienced anything quite like it.
Well, what did your tweet say? You don't want someone to screw it up? Well, you don't want the baseball boys to just butcher it somehow.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Shapiro and Atkins to chime in with like a Donaldson trade, and then they still spend money on older, unathletic players.
Old guy. They sign a fat old guy.
Yeah. What if it was Bartolo, though?
Oh, yeah.
If Bartolo signed right here, I'd be all right with it.
I would support that move.
Outside of that, no 40-plus anybody coming near the city of Toronto if you're for your baseball team.
Yeah, I mean, I was joking about that. I would have said that about any of the front office teams if the other teams were really plugging along and performing well. But the Jays are the one team that aren't quite on the radar in terms of positivity right now, and that can happen when you only win 76 games. And
well, you underachieved this year, if on paper.
Big time underachievement.
They have injuries, and they had lots of turmoil.
But that's for a negative Monday down the road. This is a positive Monday.
Exactly.
Why were you so fascinated with the Bergevin cam?
Because I've experienced that before in Toronto. You know what Bergevin got on Saturday night from Hockey Night? He got Brian Burke'd. Do you remember that first year Burke was here, after the Phil trade, after he signed Komisarek and Beauchemin?
Well, Pooley was involved in that, too. There was the Pooley-Berkey cam.
But Pooley was never on Hockey Night. They weren't looking for him.
Well, that happened. Was usually sitting beside Berkey.
I'm telling you, he was never on. It was specifically Burke. Like, every single Saturday night, if the Leafs were getting spanked, and they got spanked a lot that year, immediately they'd find Burke.
They'd flash to him like...
They would flash to him. His head would be exploding. He would be turning red with each goal. And
I don't think Bergevin had that same expression. Bergevin looked like he was shopping with his wife, and it was just like, what the hell am I doing here?
Saturday afternoon, the boys wanted to play golf.
Yeah, and he was at Costco.
He got roped into a Costco
run. Bath and Beyond.
Yeah, just hating his life.
Sitting on a bench watching his wife spend all his money.
But that's the way I saw it. It was a flashback because Burke got that all season. Hockey Night immediately found him in the stands when that team was melting down, and the Habs are in a very, very similar situation where that GM, in this case Bergevin, that market, in this case Montreal, they can't control themselves right now. They don't know what to do. Like, they're in big trouble.
They're in big trouble, and they're not a good team, period.
And they're committed.
They got beat by Arizona and then just dummied by the Leafs. Yep. And they're what?
They're committed to a large portion of this team.
Well, they got to ride it out.
Well, you know what the Leafs were, too. They were committed to a large portion of the team, and someone had to realize this team's not good enough to win. So what the hell do you do with it? And that's the decision they have right now. Are we going to try to keep fooling people, saying the Montreal Canadiens are good enough to win? The answer, you put this kid who's 5'10", a skilled kid, and he's your number one centerman now, and he's going to carry the mail for the Montreal Canadiens? Wrong. And then go through the rest of them? Not even close.
I don't think they're as worse as bad as people think they are, but they're not as good. They're just. To me, I think they were a playoff team. I still have to stand by that. But they're not as tire fire. I mean, you take your number one goalie out of anybody's locker room, see what happens.
Well, that's
Freddie was brilliant. Freddie was brilliant in the first period.
That's all they got right now.
They do. You're right.
It's Carey Price.
You're right.
Can
they
he come
do.
Back and save the day?
He's going to have to.
He's really the only guy that scares you, like terrifies you. You know, Weber's still a very good player, and he's got the bomb from the point, and he's mean, and, you know, he's still a number one defenseman, but he's not even what he was years ago. And up front, you know, we've had this conversation many times. Pacioretty is a very good player.
He's a lot like Phil.
He's 35 goals, 65 points, very good. He is not a superstar. He's not Ovechkin. He's not Kane. He's not Kucherov. He's not a game breaker on the wing like those truly upper echelon guys. And outside of that, nobody scares you. And again, you look at Bergevin and the work that he has done here. If this keeps spiraling out of control, there is no chance he survives. Like, he is a wanted man already. Oh, yeah. They are freaking out in Montreal.
He's in a lose-lose situation now there.
I would say if Price comes back and they still keep laying eggs like that, he's in big-time trouble.
Well, they're committed to Drouin, Galchenyuk, like even next season. Pacioretty's there. Gallagher and Shaw are there long-term. Weber, Petrie, Alsner, Schlemko. Jordy Benn is signed for another year. Like, they're locked in for a lot of money and a lot of term on a large portion of that team. So,
but I think people in Montreal are still pissed that he's got $8.5 million to spend, and they haven't been able to find somebody. Like, they're $8.5 million under the cap on a team that's very wealthy, and they did. You know, I don't know if he missed on getting Duchene. I don't know the plans behind the scene. But if you're a team like the Canadiens that have deep pockets, like, probably should fill up that $8.5 million somewhere.
But you don't want to spend it unwisely. That would be my warning to the Habs fans out there. Don't spend money to spend money.
Right.
Because then you get stuck with anchors on the books, and that's kind of where the Habs are right now. But, you know, we'll talk about them throughout the afternoon and where they're going and how that market is reacting. But that was quite the scene on Saturday night. Like, a lot of Leaf fans, the Olay chance we're going courtesy of Toronto Maple Leaf fans. I can't recall that happening at the Bell Center, because that's two teams going in two different directions. The Leafs have won six in a row. They've got Arizona at home tonight. And even though the Coyotes have won two in a row, you got to win this game tonight.
The Coyotes are not a very good team. They're a young team. They've got... I did that game Saturday. They've got a couple pieces there, but...
They're terrible.
They're the worst team in the league.
Yeah, there's no sugarcoating it.
And they got it again. The courtesy speech from the coach in Ottawa. They're an NHL team over there. That's
did Guy Boucher give that?
Oh, yeah. You know, no disrespect, but they are an NHL team over there. And it's just like they're going to get that every time they win. The other opposition coaches and players are going to say, you know.
Because that's how you have to feel in that room when you lose to them. That's the truth. Like,
I think if you win close, I think secretly Babcock would love an overtime Leaf win tonight. Win in overtime so he can just chew out his team. Chew out his team. That's how bad the opposition has to be when you still win and you give it the yikes, with all due respect. With all due respect, I can't believe that went to overtime.
We were dying for wins and Paul Maurice lost it on us playing the Islanders once and said we won the wrong way. I was just like, no guy. No guy. We won. And we're dying for wins. Yeah, so don't even talk about it.
A win is a win is a win. You'll always take a win.
Yeah, you want to go through some video the next day, but do not lose it on us after a win.
The thing is early in the season, a coach can bark when he doesn't like how they win, as far as gave up too many chances, the goalie stole one, that type of stuff.
Well, you saw it with the Maple Leafs, and they are right in some instances. With the Maple Leafs, they were winning, but they were giving up chances, and Mike Babcock was like, you know what, you guys think this is funny, but it's actually dumb. And sure enough, what happened after that?
No, they lost.
Because
five,
you know,
six,
that Mike,
right?
Babcock is the greatest coach of all time.
Did you hear
and
him
he
today?
And he can do what he wants.
Do we have the sound?
Yeah, we've got the sound, because...
And I like this comment, by the way, before you get to the sound, how he said, I went to the football game yesterday, and I decided to sit with the regular people. Like, I don't know, some of the other guys were in the personal suite. I was with the regular people. He was with the owner of of MLSE.
I'll give him credit, though. At least he was in the seats. I thought he would be up.
Didn't he wear Sasky stuff, too?
That was my understanding.
Yeah.
That was my understanding.
What an unreal human.
Well, he probably had a fun fourth quarter until that final drive. Argos off to the Grey Cup.
It was a good game.
It was an absolutely outstanding game. Both games were really fun, entertaining fourth quarters, tight finishes, Grey Cup week in Ottawa. That's a troll job.
Is Shania? Who's singing?
Shania Twain, right? Is playing halftime.
Big fan.
That is a big,
big
get.
Fan of hers.
Do you think she'll be rocking those sunglasses she was wearing with Scott Oak during the Cup Final down in Nashville?
I think she had a few C-tails.
Yeah. She had had a... I think she may. They may have surprised her, be like, hey, Shania, can you talk to Scott in between periods?
She got lawn darted.
Yeah, she had the lawn dart.
She went off script. She was improvising
That's
on national
right,
TV.
She's allowed to. She's a superstar.
The superstar. Like, there's been a lot of great Canadian artists over
big
the years.
Fan.
Shania
yeah.
Twain, big fan.
Yeah.
Big, big fan.
She don't impress me much.
So we got to see Matthews and Marner play together on Saturday, and they connected for goals for the first time in their young
career.
Careers.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that. That Marner had never assisted on any of Matthews' goals, and it happened twice on Saturday. So, of course, people are going to be excited by that.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you want to see it continue. Of course, Mike Babcock is going to make that call.
Right.
But he's got to understand, of course, people are going to be intrigued
yeah.
and find it entertaining, the idea of these two playing together, because they're so skilled, and Marner's got the vision, and Marner's such a setup artist, and we know Matthews can close, and he did
yeah.
that twice, and that second goal he scored last night, or on Saturday, there's like 5-10 players in the world that can score that goal.
That was a laser.
That was unbelievable, coming through the middle of the ice and slowing it down and pushing the gap back, and then top cheddar on your boy Antti Niemi.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But Babcock was asked about it today, the idea of Matthews and Marner continuing to play together. I don't think that's like a unnecessary question or being provocative or trying to be a greaseball if you're down there posing that question.
That deserves some type of like
a
legitimate answer, like a hockey answer, instead of this.
Yeah, like the beauty of bliss, when you get to coach the team, you'll get to do what you want. But when I'm coaching it, I'm going to do what I want. This is what I think. I like to win every night. That's what I try to do. So I try to put the right people together for that. I think it's good entertainment for us. The score was 6-0. The shifts, a lot of it didn't matter. And so, you know, I just want to win every night. And so I try to set up the lineup for it to be successful. So they're not together tonight.
That's just an ego that's just... But that's what the NHL coaches have to have. They all have egos that are that big. And this guy's won so much in his life. And I've told you before, he just owns the media and the scrums because there's been so much losing here. And he wins, so he's just like, shut up. I do what I want. It's very simple.
This is not exclusive to Babcock.
You notice how there's not a follow-up? Like just,
but what is going to be the follow-up?
I don't know, but just,
there is no
just
follow-up.
Everybody just... 27 open at the no balls open. And
but what is the follow-up?
There's no follow-up. Hey, I don't even know what the question was. Like, what are the chances we see it again? Why did you yeah. decide to go with that? He probably knew it was coming. He knew people would be excited about Matthews and Marner. But he announced after the game on Saturday that he's reverting back to the original lines.
Yeah.
But this is not a Mike Babcock syndrome. This is what Belichick does. This is what Popovich
exactly.
does.
And guess what? Guess what he's going to do? If his team, if he doesn't like what his team's doing, you may see them play together again.
Right.
Like, now he knows. I mean, by all accounts, these young guys are going to be here for a long time. I'm pretty sure they're going to play together. And I'm pretty sure it's going to work out. Like, I think him biting back is letting everyone know, hey, I'm still driving the bus here. You guys are still passengers. You don't like people to come off like that, but he is right. He's the coach.
Well, but nobody was disputing that. I don't get the impression like someone was in
like
the room saying,
challenged.
Hey, can I coach? Because if I was coaching, this is what I would do.
Yeah.
But you're right. That trump card is in his back pocket, putting Matthews and Marner together. We've seen it with Malkin and Sid at times in Pittsburgh, with Kane and Taves at times in Chicago.
Here was my question, and I'll pose it to both of you guys. Does that mean that he would pull Willie off with him?
I would guess.
Because it's not the other guy. Hyman's going to play with him.
Although Hyman did come off his line
I know.
For the first time
but
2 years.
He seems to be, there's
Hyman
about two
with
or three
34.
Locks that he has mm-hmm. night in, night out.
Well, and you know what I also find somewhat humorous, and I'm not surprised. Again, this is not something that is exclusive to Babcock, but how he gets his guard up, depending on which players you were asking him about and how he will respond to other players you ask him about. So he doesn't want to talk that much about Matthews and Marner and Nylander because he doesn't want to pump their tires. He doesn't want to add fuel to the fire that is already blazing, because that's all we talk about is those guys.
If you ever remember him describing Datsyuk and Zetterberg in Detroit, his comment would always be, the good players.
Right. But if you throw out Hyman's name, or Brown, or Marlowe, like he put that line together on Saturday night.
Yeah, I saw your tweet.
I swear he would have been tearing up behind the bench. Like, he went out of his way post-game to talk about how him putting that line together.
I put together a pretty good line.
that was it. Marlowe, Hyman, and Brown. Those are his three guys. Those are his three guys.
Well,
he loves those three players.
All three of those guys. I mean, Hyman does his thing. I don't think you're going to see a lot of production on the score sheet as much as what he does kind of to help everyone
the
else.
The intangibles and the work ethic.
But Marlowe's had a good start.
Mm-hmm.
And Brown's had a good start. Like, they're both, all three of them are good players in their own right. So he's not wrong.
Listen, I would feel comfortable with them on the ice, too.
Exactly.
It's just so funny how coaches think. Like, he's got Matthews and Marner and Nylander. Morgan Riley, again, had a great night on Saturday. Freddie Anderson was brilliant, again.
Yeah.
And those guys, it's like, they're okay. But how about Himes and Brownie and Marl?
But it's almost like if he gives those guys love, then he feels like he may have to, like, knock him down a peg, whereas the guys that are perceived as maybe the second tier.
The blue-collar, Rick Reiner type.
Got to give them love because they don't get as much love from everyone else.
Right.
Now, I thought Freddie was great. I mean, Montreal would have still lost that game, but it would have been a different game had Freddie not played very well in the first period.
Oh, yeah. The first period, the Habs, I mean, played the Leafs pretty well the first two periods. And they played them well a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
when the Leafs won in overtime, yet the Leafs just have so much more talent. Like, that's the truth. They just have more game breakers and more talent. And it was a fun game to watch if you're a Leaf fan, and they're back in action tonight. Again, Arizona in town. And
I wouldn't even call it, you wouldn't, trap game or no? I don't think so, because I think there's, now maybe you guys can answer this. Monday nights, they're not great, but to me, Arizona is still ripe. Like, that's a beatable team, and you have to win. You have to beat them.
You have to win this game at home.
It's a must-win.
Yeah.
For everything, who they are. You can say the coach's slogan. They are NHL players. They are an NHL team. But you got to keep the streak going here and just keep riding this out. What do they got the rest of the week?
Well, they got a busy week.
They do, but they don't have the most difficult teams on the docket. They've got Florida. They've got Carolina, then at home against Washington. None of those teams have been lighting the league on fire. In Florida.
So they must be in Tampa, too, or no?
No, they're not. They're in Florida, in Carolina, at home against Washington. So there's a trap game somewhere in there.
Yeah, and plus it's, what is that, four games and six nights.
Mm-hmm. Like, McElhinney's getting another start.
I would have started him tonight.
I was thinking that myself.
I would have started him tonight. But you do have a back-to-back this weekend. But, you know, this is an opportunity where, you know, Freddie's had back-to-back shutouts, and he's played very, very well. Yeah, you could continue to run him, but I guess, you know, you're spaced out. He's got the day off in between. You play Monday, Wednesday, and then probably play him Friday and have McElhinney play Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a long week for them.
Oh, yeah, it's a long week. There's a lot of hockey, and they've got 15 of the next 20 on the road.
That's
lots of road games.
Battle. Yep.
It's a big battle for the Maple Leafs.
Would you say 15 to 20?
Mm-hmm.
15 of the next 20.
15 of the next 20 on the road.
That's the real deal, Holyfield.
Oh, yeah. Jim Popp, the GM of the Argos, will join us later in the afternoon. They're off to the Grey Cup. It's a big week for TSN, big week for Toronto. We'll tee up the Grey Cup throughout the week. Keep looking back on the games this past weekend and tee up the Leaf game tonight.
And we're going to get into, if you guys came through on my request,
the O-Dog broke one of the all-time social codes. We'll tell you about that next. All right, so there's a lot of people wondering what the O-Dog was up to earlier today, breaking one of the all-time social codes.
I don't think it's that bad.
Should I read
friends.
The text? Do you want me to read the group text?
Or? Well, let me throw out a couple of people's tweets because they're trying to jump the gun here
and
call their shot in terms of what he did. Toby tweeting and saying, did he take the urinal directly next to Bobby Mack when there were several available? No guy.
That would
no
have been
guy.
Better.
Did he ask a colleague when she's due, when she's not pregnant?
Oh, the Kramer. No.
No guy. Would
That's
never
a no
do
guy.
That.
Is it worse than being wrist deep in the rice last week?
Mugu guy pan deep?
Yes, I would say it
I
is.
I would say yes.
Go ahead, Noodles. Read the original text.
So we have a group text that we always just chat on, upcoming topics, you know, games going on and everything. So at 12:42 p.m. today, my bell rings, so I've got a text, and it says, any of you two have an extra plunger at home, bring it in for me.
What is so bad about that?
And Hayes wrote back, laugh out loud, and I said, not sure I do, but there's a Walmart across the road.
Hey, Chief, there's a Walmart
across like there's
the road.
Yeah, there's a Walmart across the road from...
I just figured you two have homes, families, there's an extra plunger around. Why not just bring it in?
But then you doubled down and got mad and said, do you not one of you guys have an effing extra plunger? Question mark. And I said, I think I only have one at the house. I'll ask Steph. It gets used maybe once a year, but I think it sits in like a bag beside the toilet.
Yeah, I've got the little compartment where you leave it there. And
yeah, like...
And you said you had one, and I said, just clean it up and bring it in.
I'm not cleaning up a plunger to bring it in, dude. You don't...
It's not... Yeah, like, this isn't...
Okay, so is it bad if I... there's a guy in my building who we both go back and forth, direct message on Twitter, complaining about the building. Would it have been like a no guy to say to him, dude, can I borrow your plunger for 2 seconds?
I don't think it's like asking for salt milk, or for milk or something. Like, a plunger is pretty personal.
It's very personal.
And those things... Like, some people do work on a plunger.
There's some shrapnel could be left in there and stuff. It's
furthermore, I would be concerned about how you are going to return said plunger.
You don't think I would do, you know, those wipes? I would wipe that thing down.
No, you wouldn't. You'd need a hazmat mask and, like, rubber gloves and stuff. Like, there's no way. Like,
yeah, I think that's one of those things where if you actually ask somebody for it, like, you know you're not getting it back.
Yeah, you just give it to them.
I would hand you my plunger and be like, keep it.
Yeah, put a bow
like
on it. There's your
why
Christmas
didn't you bring
present.
Me the one you don't use?
Because I'm not wrapping it up and putting it in the car. I'm not going to have a plunger in the car and put it in park and walk out with hepatitis.
Yeah, you take a hard right and the plunger falls over and the bag, it rolls out of the bag. Like, it's just...
It's disgusting.
It is. It's disgusting.
Like, you cannot ask for... For plungers. You can't ask other people for a plunger. You can't do that.
I think amongst friends.
It is.
Miles, do you got a spare one at home?
No, I got one, and that's it, and you're not using it.
Exactly.
I would feel more comfortable if you're like, do you have a spare pair of underwear I could borrow? Yeah. I would hand over a pair of used underwear before I gave you access to the plunger.
I don't think it's a big deal amongst friends.
I'd bring you a toothbrush before I'd bring you a plunger.
Right, I've used it. I'm not getting it back. You can keep it if you want.
But here it is.
The plunger?
It's just such a... We know, the thing is now you start visualization of what's going on.
Well, like, immediately.
Amongst men, like, you can just say, yeah, I got one. Or you guys are blowing this into something that it's not.
All right, start a poll up. Ask the people.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus, Murphy.
We want to hear from the people. At what?
Is it offside to ask for a plunger?
Exactly. Are we over-exaggerating the broken social code that Noodles and I believe took part at 12:42 this afternoon? I think it's a significant infraction.
I actually thought about on the way in, I was running a bit late, but if I was on time, I was going to stop at Walmart and just buy you one. Because obviously you're struggling for one, so I don't want there to be an incident at your new condo.
Well, and I want to know, like, what's going on at the condo if you never got your hands on one?
Like, is we it know just, what's going on. Exactly.
Is it a crime scene at the new condo?
It is an hour away from yellow tape, and I need to get something on the way home. Because
send in the troops, dude. Like, call someone up.
Didn't we used to be sponsored by, like, Brothers Plumbing?
Yes, we did.
Maybe they're going to have to come in with the snake.
Because what was your line? What was your line when you used to tag the Brothers Plumbing?
I forget. Give it a plunger.
Or something like that.
I forget what
either
it was.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
You dump it, we pump it, or I don't know what the hell
either
it was.
Either way, it's. I think that line at 12:42, I thought about it, and you know what? We'd come up with a plunger, but you don't bring it back. Like, that's not one you throw in the back of the truck and that rides
When I lived in Carolina, I bummed a plunger off my neighbor, and
really?
It was not a big deal.
And you brought it back to him?
Yep. Her.
Her.
Yeah.
That's an icebreaker. Knock on the door.
Yeah. I had my goon buddies down for a golf trip, and I had to borrow her plunger, and she had no qualms, and I had no qualms giving it back.
And you brought it right back, and not an issue.
Too.
Not an issue, huh?
Okay. Not an issue.
Well, she's better people than Noodles and I.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll get back into the Leaf game over the weekend, tee up the game tonight. Touch on this Oliver Ekman-Larsson piece that Bobby Mack sent out, courtesy of TSN.ca.
You believe there's some cryptic messaging in there.
Oh, I believe the rumor comes alive.
Really?
Oh, I believe the genie is out of the bottle because of Bobby Mack's one comment where he said someone told him to watch himself over the weekend in terms of how crazy this idea is.
Darcy Tucker text Plungergate, no guy.
Exactly.
Thank you, Tucker.
Thanks, Tuck.
See, he's a normal human being.
I don't think it's that bad. Tux would be giving you a plunger.
No, he's telling you he wouldn't.
He just said he wouldn't.
He's telling you he wouldn't.
Well, right. I hate him now instead of you.
Get that poll going. We'll track it throughout the afternoon. Rays coming up. Marcellus Wiley. LeVar Ball v. Donald Trump is the battle we all knew was coming, but I'm not sure we can handle it. We'll touch on that and what happened with the Bills yesterday afternoon. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. Big night tomorrow night, TFC in Columbus for the first leg of the Eastern Final, and the MLS playoffs continues with TFC again facing Columbus tomorrow night. Catch the first leg at 7:30 on TSN and right here on TSN 1050. Big week here in Toronto again. The Leafs are on fire. The Raptors are on fire. Argos off to the Grey Cup. TFC, even without Jovinko and Jose Altidore, in Columbus tomorrow night. And I was talking to my boy Wheels earlier this morning, or listening to Wheeler make the claim that he fully expects TFC to roll in there tomorrow and win. Even really? Without their two top dogs up front, he expects them to step into Columbus and pick up a first-leg win.
We
and
if forgot that happens, to add those guys into the positive Toronto sports.
He did. You had him.
Oh, I had him.
Oh, you had him.
I had him.
Tweet, yeah.
Get those plungers out of your ears, dude. Join the program.
Although,
you know what? The poll took a turn for the worst.
But there was Jade the ref said.
It went from no reasonable request to offside is now 57%.
How about one guy wrote in, no infraction, O-Dog. I'll have one to the station tomorrow. That's from Jade the ref. So
Jade's going to personally send one up?
Apparently.
Okay.
I'll accept that.
Absolutely.
Anthony, I'm a plumber and I have a snake. Yes, guy. I'll do you a solid, Jeff.
A snake.
Those snakes have seen some things.
You have to be an animal to pull the snake out. Like, you had to have just eaten the worst food weekend.
I have seen the snake, but you know what happened? My nanny put Noodles down the carburetor. And apparently Noodles and carburetor don't mix very well. And turns it basically into cement paste.
Well, the carburetor's different.
Once they seize up, it's like
seized
cement.
Up. So the guy had to bring in this snake. You talk about this thing has seen some things. I had to stand back, and he fired that thing up, and it just mowed right through.
Oh, it does work, man.
It
does a lot of work.
Gritty.
So there's so much coming off this weekend. Like the LeVar Ball, Donald Trump stuff was so predictable. You knew that was going to happen. We talked about it last week.
You're right, but I can't believe, okay, even if Donnie Trump... Like, it sounds like he did do a solid here.
Absolutely.
Sounds like he made a phone call and got these guys out of jail.
I don't think that's disputable. Like, I think he went personally to the president of China and said, please do me a solid here and send these guys back to L.A.
So how does LeVar Ball double down on that? Like, he sounds, and I know everyone thinks there's idiots involved on both sides, which is fine, have your opinion. But, like, If my son just got saved by the president.
Yeah, I'm not going to be chirping.
I'm not going
to hear it. Regardless of what his thoughts on Trump are, he has to have an understanding that stuff over there is
serious
stuff.
Serious business.
He doesn't have a clue.
This guy's an idiot.
He doesn't have a clue, and this is so predictable because...
It's dumb and dumber.
His kid's home safe now. He's home safe.
So he's being a hero now. His son's safe.
It's all now he can use this to keep promoting himself. Because if he came out and just said, no, you're right. I want to thank him. That was amazing. Like, all joking aside, I'm not going to pretend to be this loud, brash, lunatic father that I usually am. If he goes into serious mode, we forget about it quickly. We don't talk about it.
Yeah.
But by him being like, Trump didn't do anything, who's that?
First he goes, who?
Yeah.
Who's that? Like, really?
That's LeVar Ball. He's constantly on. And he's constantly getting people to react.
Well, you're right.
That's
We're talking about him again.
And you knew Trump was going to take that bait.
Well,
you knew he was jumping back on Twitter.
And Donnie doubled down today.
Yeah, he sure
did. And just flat out said, I should have left him in jail.
That's nice. Awesome. I should have left them in China.
It actually is funny. Like, that, I think, is funny because I don't know. If I was the president and this guy was an idiot, like, you want to save those young kids from themselves because they're 17 and they're idiots.
They did something stupid. You knew it was going to ruin their lives. It was a nice gesture if you actually got them back to the States.
Exactly. But now you're that petty that you want a pat on the back. But like you say, you got two donkeys going at it.
Two guys looking in a mirror. Trump and LeVar Ball yelling and screaming.
It's too bad.
And you'll notice LeVar Ball didn't have anything to say when the kid was still in China.
Yeah, exactly.
When he got home, all of a sudden, he starts yapping away. Wasn't going to say anything when he was still in danger of losing his kid to the Chinese authorities for the next decade. The Buffalo Bills, I feel for Bills fans. I really do. I feel for Buffalo Bills fans. It doesn't matter who the coach is, who the GM is. It's the same disaster year in,
year out. You warned people, too. When they were on their hot streak, you're like, just don't get excited about this because they're going to turn into the Buffalo Bills again. And they do it all the time. And they actually made like a surprising trade after they traded Watkins. They brought in the receiver from Carolina.
Yep, brought in Kelvin Benjamin. They traded away Marcel Darius.
And they kept saying to the media, oh, you guys want to talk to us now? We are the real deal. And they have taken a sky dump of catastrophic proportions.
Oh, 3 weeks in a row, they've been spanked. Like, they gave up 54. And that's the thing. We're so focused on the quarterback and the wideouts and the wide receivers. Their defense is the worst defense in the league past 3 weeks.
And who the hell do you start quarterback next game? I mean, Peterman was just outrageous.
This is incoherent drivel.
I think you have to go back to Jay Peterman.
Come on.
I think you have to.
His name's not Jay.
For all intents and purposes, if you throw five picks with 14 attempts, you're Jay Peterman. You're not Nathan Peterman.
I saw a stat yesterday that Brady has thrown five picks since January 16th of like 2016. And Jay Peterman had five.
There's three or four teams in the league that have not thrown five interceptions.
Well, I'm sure Taylor's pissed off because he originally didn't start the game. And then it's the old, oh, go in and save the game. And then so it's like he is just out of sorts.
But that's why I think you have to go back to the kid. Because if you made that decision a week ago, one half of football, as catastrophic as it was, as embarrassing as it was, cannot allow you to pull a 180 and look that stupid. Like, what kind of message are you sending to your team, to your fan base, that you're that indecisive? Like, I know Peterman, that's as bad as it gets. Five picks on 14 attempts, that is as horrible quarterbacking as you will ever see. But you wanted to give the opportunity to the kid to see how he reacted during the regular season.
Well, you saw how it went.
He did, but now I think you owe it to him to give him an opportunity to play out of
it. Get a double down.
I think you have to. Because when they made that move, I believe they were essentially admitting we're done. I think that's what it was. They had to say we're still in the playoff race and we're doing this to get into the playoffs. That's bogus. That's completely bogus. They saw what happened against the Jets. They saw what happened against New Orleans. They know they're spiraling out of control. This is a new administration with McDermott, a new GM, and a new president. They're trying to build a winning culture. They're trying to build through the draft. They're moving in a different direction. Tyrod Taylor's done at the end of the year anyway, and that didn't change this past weekend. So if you made that decision, regardless of what happened in the first half, I think you have to go back to Peterman the next time you play. Put yourself in that room. Imagine they flip back to Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
How could you look at your coach and be like, this guy knows what he's doing?
Yeah.
How?
You're right. No, it's...
Well, what's worse, if they went back to what, Tyrod?
Mm-hmm.
Or what the Edmonton Eskimos coach pulled yesterday? What guy has lost their room more than that guy?
Jason Moss
pulled the ultimate stunt as a coach, and I am by no means hoagie as far as football. But what the hell are you doing?
I
was watching that live. I'm like, what are you doing?
Glenn Suter was openly speaking for the whole country when he suggested that Moss didn't know what the score was. That's the only reasonable explanation, which is a fireable offense. You're in the Western Final and you think you're down by six as opposed to seven because there is no explanation for kicking a field goal on third and four from the red zone with like 2.5 minutes left when... Even if you make it, you still need a touchdown. Like, they went on, they went for it twice on third and long earlier in the drive. I was watching that the same way everyone was in the country, flabbergasted by what Moss was thinking.
And I track people on Twitter from Edmonton, so I was watching them go nuts as well, because you're... I listened to what Moss had to say afterwards as well. And he actually didn't apologize. He just kind of doubled down. It was like, I thought we were going to hit the field goal and turn the ball over again. I trusted my defense. And kind of the players afterwards kind of came out too. But you're in that room, I'm wondering, like, go for it. Like, to me, 99% of them would be like, yeah, give me, like, one of the best tweets I saw was from a former player saying, Jason Moss, as a quarterback, would want that ball. He would want to go at third and four.
That's right. And even if they stop you, you've given Calgary terrible field position.
Right.
You don't kill any more of the clock. And, okay, you still need a touchdown, just like you did when you kicked the field goal.
Is that a worse decision than Seattle?
Throwing at the one-yard line when they had Marshawn Lynch?
They're both right up there, man.
I would
think Seattle's is worse.
Well, because that's worse. For the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, and that ended it.
Right.
It was over. Like, even when they kicked the field goal, technically they could have got the ball back. And they did get it kicked to the returner, and he fumbled the return.
Yeah, that was a That was a train wreck. But Seattle's, I think, is worse because of what was at stake.
Bigger stage, and that effectively ended the game.
Right.
So I would still go with Pete Carroll throwing on the one-yard line, as opposed to passing it off or handing it off to Marshawn Lynch. All right, Ray's coming up. Marcellus Wiley, Jim Popp, GM of the Argos, later in the afternoon. Mow Your Lawn Monday next. Make sure you listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day on Friday. Come with the names of all five players. And this week we're giving away a pair of lower bowl tickets to see the Leafs take on the Flames December 6th down at the ACC, and the theme this week is former Maple Leafs who Brian Burke acquired via trade. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Dion Phaneuf. Dion Phaneuf, the Upper Deck Leafs lineup is brought to you by Upper Deck Team Triples, available at ZypherEpic.com. Rays coming up, Marcellus Wiley, Jim Popp, the GM of the Argos. The Argos are off to the Grey Cup. Leafs are winning, Raps are winning, TFC's in action tomorrow night. It was a pretty wild day in the NFL. Lots of stuff going on in the sports world.
It's taken a long time to get this TFC game going.
2 weeks, more than 2 weeks.
It's a long, like...
What a joke.
It's such a buzzkill. It really is a buzzkill. They have to change it.
You factor in the weather kind of changing, too. What the hell? What is the reason again?
They have the international break due to World Cup qualifiers and Euro qualifiers. Every year they shut down for like a week, first week of November or second week of November.
Yeah, it's a long time.
It's really way too long. It's an absolute buzzkill. Anyway, there's a lot of material for Mow Your Lawn Monday.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Can you call you sometime, Pocahontas?
You got a number? Want some of this?
How about a little of that?
All right.
Mow Your Lawn Monday.
Mow Your Lawn Monday is brought to you by the Irv Pub, featuring a made-from-scratch menu and a great selection of local craft beer in the heart of Cabbage Town. Stop by the Irv Pub and say hi to Regan and Jackie. Oh, you were down there this afternoon? Little stop and chat with Regan. And
yeah, I picked up some meal prep, and it's unbelievable. He even tossed in some wings for you guys.
The wings were good.
And you put the picket fence up around those wings.
Because I think I saw Sean Levine pop. I don't know how the door flew open the minute that the wings sat down.
I am full out block mode. J.J. Watt couldn't get to these wings. Khalil Mack would just say, forget it. I'm dropping into coverage. He could not get past me. I am protecting these wings.
They're all
like
yours.
It's life or death. They are a thing of beauty. The Ear Pub down on Carlton. Best pub in the city. Lots of opportunities. Lots of choices. Who's mowing lawns throughout the sports world today?
I am going to go reverse mow your lawn. Not reverse, but these guys are going to mow your lawn for sympathy takedowns. Really? I think if Peterman and Jason Moss went into bars, girls would be like, I got to take you down just because you're so pathetic right now.
The pathetic mowing of lawns?
It's just, you're so down in the dumps, I'm going to take you down. I'm going for the kill just to make you feel better.
Interesting take.
Interesting.
Very interesting take. The reverse Mo.
Yeah, I'm
going
with
this. Don't you think
this.
If you just saw...
That's a grass grower.
Peterman, like, just...
I don't know, man.
Face down in a pile of spaghetti and beer, you'd be like, I gotta feel sorry for this guy, and I'll take him down.
5 picks, 14 attempts.
Yeah, that's...
You're on your own.
I don't think he goes out.
No, I don't think he should.
Well, I'll throw in one positive, too. I think Austin Matthews could have stolen your chick on Saturday night flying back.
I think Marner might be riding shotgun there, too.
All right, I'm going Noodles. With Freddie Anderson. Back-to-back shutouts.
Mm-hmm.
Guy's playing well.
He would mow your ass down.
Exactly.
I'm going with the Argos as a whole. I mean, this is a team who was, they were brutal last year. They didn't make the playoffs. They made drastic changes, bringing in Pop and Trestman. Ricky Ray's been injured a lot over the past few years. He's been healthy, and he's really performed.
Yeah.
The defense doesn't get a ton of love, but they were spectacular yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to play the role of the Ottawa Redblacks. Last year, the Red Blacks walked into the Grey Cup going up against the best team in the league. It was Calgary last year. It's Calgary again this year. And the Red Blacks shocked the world. And they won. And I think the Argos have an opportunity to do that again this weekend in Ottawa, ironically enough. So the Argos, I think, rolling through Toronto feeling very good about themselves, as they should be. We'll get into this Oliver Ekman-Larson piece by Bobby Mack up on TSN.ca. Ray will join us and Marcellus Wiley on what the Bills do now. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.